إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد May the blessing and peace be upon the Beloved Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions all together. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The top topic that I've been asked to discuss is the foundation of true belief and sound aqidah in Islam. The foundation of true belief and sound aqidah in Islam. Firstly, I appreciate the invitation to this noble place that is Louth, CMUL Central Mosque, Idiaraba, Lagos. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide the Muslim community in this university. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in iman and steadfastness. Likewise, the students, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your knowledge, and may He subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all inmates of al-Jannah, forgive our shortcomings. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala make us be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions on the road of Islam. Now when we say foundation of true belief, belief in the Arabic language is what we call al-Iman. That is the Arabic word for belief. And the word aqidah mentioned here is an Arabic word in itself, which means a creed or doctrine. That is the meaning of the word aqidah. So your belief, your iman, your doctrine, your aqidah, this is something that you have to take seriously as Muslims. In the popular hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, I mean the hadith that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadith that said Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked him some questions. So he said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ Inform me about al-Iman. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying, Al-Iman أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم summarized this to Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام by saying, Believe is for you to believe in Allah. Al-Iman is for you to believe in Allah. And tu'min billah wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wal yawm al-akhir wa tu'mina bil qadari khayri wa sharri. It mentions 16. To believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in His kutub, His books, to believe in the Messenger, to believe in the last day, and to believe in Al-Qadr, good or bad. These are called what? Usulul Iman, the foundations of faith. These are Usulul Iman, or if you like, you call them Arkan al-Iman, the pillars of Iman. So you believe in Allah, you believe in His Messenger, you believe in His books, you believe in His messengers, you believe in the angels, you believe in the last day and Al-Qadr. That is, you believe in what? Destiny, predestination, whether good or bad. Each of these foundations mentioned is very, very important. Some people may call themselves Muslims, but they are lacking in one of these foundations, or in more. They are lacking in more than one of these foundations. If somebody says, okay, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Messenger of Allah, I believe in the last day, I believe in the books of Allah, I believe in Qadr. This means what? Details. How do you believe in all these that you have mentioned? It's very, very important. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us, to explain things to us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And you have sent the zikr to you so that you can explain to the people مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, what has been revealed to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and so that they can ponder on it. So when they ask us, the task of the messengers of Allah from among human beings, what is their task? Why were they sent to human beings? The purpose they were sent to human beings is to explain to them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So you as a Muslim, that is somebody who claims he has submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with the explanation of the messenger. You need a messenger. You need a messenger. You cannot understand the Quran without the explanation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why it is important to understand the Quran, to understand the message given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding and the explanation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we say al-Iman and tu'mina billah, believe, is for you to believe in Allah wa malaikati, and in angels, wa kutubi, and his books, wa rusuli, and his messengers, wal yawmil akhir, and the last day, wal qadar khairi wa sharri, and to believe in predestination, good or bad. This is the summary. This is what the summary. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam when he asked him, akhbirni an iman. Tell me about iman. What is iman? This is the answer given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the details, we have to understand the details. We have to understand the details. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said this in the Quran. In at least, let's say, let me use two verses of the Quran on this before we go into the details. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قبل المشرق والمغرب. It is not albir, piety. It is not righteousness for you to turn your faces towards the east and the west. ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. But righteousness is for the one, for one to believe in Allah. واليوم الآخر and the last day. ولكن البر من آمن بالله. That is righteousness, the one that can be said to be righteous, that can be said to be pious, is the one that believes in Allah and the last day. والملائكة and the angels. والكتاب and the book. والنبيين and the prophets, and the prophets. So if you look at this, how many are mentioned here? Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and what? The Nabi, you, a prophet. Compare this to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he asked him, akhbirni anil iman, tell me about iman. And he said, what? Al iman an tu'mina billah wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wal yawmil akhir wal qadar wa an tu'mina bil qadar khairi wa sharri. So al qadar is not mentioned yet. It's not mentioned in this. So to the end of this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now you go to Surah Al-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you believe, aminu billah, believe in Allah, wa rasuli and his messenger, wal kitab alladhi nazzala ala rasuli, and the book that he revealed to his messenger. والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل, and the book that he sent, that he revealed before, the one that he revealed to his messenger. ومن يكفر بالله, let's count it. ومن يكفر بالله, whoever disbelieves in Allah, وملائكته and his angels, وكتبه and his books, ورسله and his messengers, How many? Huh? Four. Wal yawmil akhir, and the last day. How many? Five. Faqad dhalla dhalalan ba'ida. Such a person has gone far astray. So Allah did not mention Al-Qadr yet. But in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu bi qadar. We created everything with qadar. Wa ma asaba min musibatin fil ard wa la fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabl an nabra'aha. That is, nothing will befall you. Nothing will befall you before ma asaba min musibatin. There is no musibah, any misfortune, any calamity that will befall you or that will happen on the surface of the earth, except that what is in the book, min qabl an nabra'aha, before we created it. Before what we created, that is, before we make it materialize. So this tells us what they call articles of faith, articles of belief. So you have it mentioned in the Quran. And this is what is also in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and that is why when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ الْإِيمَانِ, informed me about al-Iman. So he said to him, al-Iman is أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرْ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, صَدَقْتَ. You have spoken the truth. You have spoken the truth. So, brothers and sisters, you have to know this. When they ask you, what is arkanul iman? What is arkan of iman? You should be able to mention these six things. And we thought, when they ask you what are their evidences, prove them from Al-Quran and Sunnah. So you can mention these verses that you have read out. You can also mention, the one in Surah Al-Baqarah, the one in Surah Al-Nisa. You mention this to buttress your argument. So it is important that we take note of this. But another thing that is important, and that is more important, is for you to know what we call believe in Allah. Believe in Allah. What do we call believe in Allah? Believe in Allah goes beyond you just believing that Allah is your creator and your sustainer. Some people, they believe that once you have this belief that Allah is your creator and your sustainer, you have believed in Allah. No, it goes beyond that. This belief that Allah is your creator and your sustainer is the one that gives life, the one that takes life, is a common belief among humanity, except those who have gone overboard in their misguidance. When somebody is misguided, some people, they are also what? They've gone overboard in their what? In their misguidance. So those who have gone overboard in their misguidance, they are the people that will tell you they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't believe in the existence of a being called what? Called God or called Allah. This is kufru, there is no kufru after it. This is unbelief. After which there is no what? No any unbelief. For you to say there is no God. So we have some people today who say there is no God. We have some people today who say they are in doubt whether there is God or not. We have those who are called atheists. And we have those who are not atheists, but they will say what? They are agnostics. They are agnostics. Atheists doesn't believe in God. An agnostic says he is in doubt whether there is God or not. He's not telling you there is no God. At the same time, he's not affirming that there is God. He's in doubt. That's an agnostic. But generality of human beings believe there is what? There is God. Even the mushrikun, the idolaters of Makkah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their midst, believe there is God. If you go to the Quran, Allah says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ. If you, Muhammad, ask them who created them, they will tell you it's Allah. That is Abu Talib, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and many others like that. If they were asked, مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ who created them, لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ, they will say Allah. In another verse, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. If you ask them who created the heavens, وَالْأَرْضَ and the earth, وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ, who subdued the storm and the moon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ, they are calling Allah, they will say Allah. And many verses like that in the Quran telling us that the kuffar of Makkah, the idolaters of Makkah, the mushrikun of Makkah, they acknowledge the existence of Allah. Not only that, they also acknowledge that Allah is their creator, their sustainer. They acknowledge this. That they acknowledge that Allah is their creator, their sustainer. Yet, they are not considered to be believers. They are not considered to be believers. Because you acknowledging that Allah is your creator, Allah is your sustainer, Allah is the one that takes life, is not enough to call somebody a believer. And we know that part of what they believe, part of the foundations of belief is antumina billah, for you to believe in Allah. But believing Allah is not restricted to what you believe in. Is your creator, is your sustainer, is the one that takes the life of the people. It's not restricted to that. One has to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that deserves to be worshipped alone. I hope you are getting me. One has to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. So anyone who worships other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a mu'min, is not a believer. It's not a believer in Allah. And the iman needs what? The iman needs what? Believe in Allah. And when one worships other than Allah, by slaughtering to that thing, by calling on it, by vowing or vowing to it, all this, or putting reliance on that thing, all this will not make one to be what? To be believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the fact that one believes Allah exists, Allah is the creator, Allah is the sinner. For the fact that one offers sacrifices to other than Allah, for the fact that one vows to other than Allah, for the fact that one slaughters for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one relies on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this does not go with your claim that you believe in Allah. If truly one believes in Allah, one must not slaughter for other than Allah. One must not call on other than Allah. One must not rely on other than Allah. One must not bow to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these scholars will call what? Tawheedu al-uluhiyya or Tawheed al-ibadah. That is taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one and watch in your acts of worship. Or taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only one that deserves to be worshipped. This is called what? Tawheedu al-uluhiyya or Tawheed al-ilahiyya. If you look at it from the angle of the servant, you call it Tawheedu al-ibadah. Taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one in your acts of worship. So this is what is important. So if they ask you, what is the reason behind Abu Talib, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, what is the reason behind them not being what? Muslims or being believers? We say the reason is that what? They slaughter for other than Allah and they call on other than Allah and they rely on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And most of them, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ, most of them will not believe in Allah. Except that what? They are mushrikun. That is, the belief they have is partial belief in Allah. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. So they are doing shirku, and they say they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that's why it is important that you understand this. So it is not enough when somebody says, I believe Allah is my creator, I believe Allah is my sustainer, I believe Allah is the one that takes life, that gives life. We say this belief that you have proclaimed, yes, it's compulsory that you proclaim it. But Abu Talib, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they also have the same belief. But their problem with respect to believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they call on other than Allah. They slaughter for other than Allah. They slaughter for Hubal. They slaughter for Manat. They slaughter for Uzza. They rely on Uzza. That is their major belief. That is what their major problem that affects their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a verse in the Quran, Allah says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَأُدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِلَىٰ أُمِشْرِكُونَ. When these mushrikun, the idolaters of Makkah, whenever they were on watch on the sea, and the ship that they were on board, if the ship wanted to capsize, for instance, دَعُوا اللَّهِ لِيُوسِيَا اللَّهِ O Allah, Anjina, save us. O Allah, save us. Ya Allah, Anjina. O Allah, save us. Allah says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهِ. They will call on Allah. مُخْلِصِينَ لَأُدِّينَ. Sincerely, they will forget Huba, they will forget Manat, they will forget Uzza. They will forget all those gods that they were calling, slaughtering for. Going to دَعُوا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَأُدِّينَ. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. When Allah saved them to the land, إِذَاهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, they will go back to their shirk. They will go back to what? Their shirk. So they will be calling on Hubal again. They will be calling on Manat, Uzza, Lat. Because they have what? They have escaped the problem. They have escaped the situation in which they all were calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the, or this was the attitude of the mushrikun of Makkah. Today you see people, they also call on Allah. Some people will come to the masjid, they will pray. But at the same time, they will call on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will slaughter for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see this. So وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of them will not believe in Allah except with shirk. They will be doing shirk, they will do believe. And when one is committing shirk and one believes in Allah again, this does not go. This is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. So when we say the foundation of iman is for you to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you should believe in the rububiyyah of Allah, that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life, the taker of life. Then you also direct all your acts of worship towards him. You direct all your acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not call on other than Allah when you are in one problem or the other. You will not slaughter for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not rely on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not bow to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't go to a grave yard or go to a grave and say, oh, Sheikh so and so, I'm looking for a child. I'm looking for what, promotion at my place of work. If you grant me promotion, or if you grant me, give me a child, I'm going to do so and so. This is what? Bowing to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what? Shirk that takes one out of the fold of Islam. So your belief in Allah must include what we call Tawheedul Ibadah. Tawheedul Ibadah. Or you call it Tawheedul Al-Uluhiyya. That is, you must believe and practice. You must display that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. So Abu Lahab, his belief that Allah is his creator does not watch, did not save him, because he associated partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا, those who take helpers, take friends, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who take them as awliya, those who take them as protectors, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ ذُلْفَى, they will say, we are not worshipping them except that we want them to make us closer to Allah. You see the argument? Those who are calling on other than Allah in every community. If you ask them, why are you doing this? Why are you slaughtering for so-and-so? You are slaughtering for a stone. You are calling on a tree. You are what? Offering sacrifices to river. They will tell you, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ ذُلْفَى. The reason we are doing this is that they can make us, so that they can make us closer to Allah. The Kufar of Makkah, they said it. That is the reason they were worshipping Uban, offering sacrifices to Uban, to Manat, to Uzza, is that Uban, Manat, will make them closer to Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this is not believing Allah. This is not Tawheedullah. This is not making Allah as one. So you have to jettison all these things. You have to throw all this away, and you call on Allah alone. You slaughter for Allah alone. You rely on Allah alone. You vow to Allah alone, and so on and so forth. So, but this was not welcomed by the Kuffar of Makkah. A lot of them, they kicked against it. And they said this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَجَعْلَ الْآلِيَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَعَبٌ. What is it telling us? So he's telling us that the Aliha, the gods, that is the plural of the word ilahu. Ilahum is singular. The plural is what? Alihatun. Aja'ala al-aliyata ilahan wahida. So all the gods should be disregarded. Only one should be recognized. Inna hadha la shay'un ajab. This is something that is strange. What is he telling us? What is he telling us? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the mushrikun of Makkah. So they wanted to worship Allah and also worship other than Allah. They believe when they are in serious issue, when they are in serious calamity, so they call on Allah as a final resource. But before they get to that level, they can call on smaller ones, smaller gods. The smaller gods who pass their message to Allah, the creator of the universe. So this is the philosophy and the thinking of the mushrikun of Makkah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their midst. So today we still have people doing this. Some people may call themselves Muslims, but I don't see anything wrong in calling maybe Sheikh. They don't see anything wrong in what? In calling jinn, slaughtering for them, calling on them, bowing to them. They don't see anything wrong in this. But when you tell them, this is wrong. Call on Allah alone. They will say, what man abudu milali yukaribuna illa Allah yudhulfa. We are only doing all this so that they can make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same argument. So brothers and sisters, the belief in Allah goes beyond you just saying Allah is your creator. It goes beyond you just saying what? Allah is your sustainer. If that is enough, the mushrikun of Makkah will be said to be mu'minun, they will be said to be believers. But they were said to be what? Unbelievers. Despite the fact that they believe Allah is their creator, their sustainer, because they turn their acts of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition, your belief in Allah also entails that you believe that Allah has the most beautiful names, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the highest attributes. We read the Quran. Allah says what? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has the most beautiful names. Call Him by those names. When Allah says we should call on Him, we shouldn't call on Hubal, we shouldn't call on Lat, Manat, Uzza. If we do that, we fall in what we call what? Shirkul Ibadah and Shirkul Ilahiyah. So then Allah said we should be calling on Him. How am I going to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah said what? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى. Allah has the most beautiful names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call Him by those names. You read the Quran. Allah says, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Look at these names. We call Allah by those names. You want to ask anything, call any of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most beautiful names, with the highest attributes. You call these names, they are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you call any one of them, you are calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why you as a Muslim who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we abandon these names and we call it on other than Allah. You be calling on Rauqayailu, Damdayailu, Arwabil, Sadabil, Taytush, and many other names, which are names of jinn. Which are what? Name of jinn. And you are not supposed to call on a jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Zariyat or so, Surah Al-Jafiyah or so, Allah says what? وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُمْ جَمِيعًا. The day Allah will gather everybody. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And we say to the angels, أَوْلَا إِيَّكُمْ كَامِ يَعْبُدُونَ. These people, were they calling you when they were in the worldly life? Were they calling on you when they were what in the worldly life? قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ. The angels will respond that glory be to you. Glory be to you. Subhanaka, they will say glory be to you. That these people, they are calling on the jinn. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يَقُولُ الْمَلَائِكَ أَوْلَا إِيَّكُمْ كَامْ يَعْبُدُونَ. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ أَنْتَ وَلِيُّنَا مِنْ دُونِهِمْ بَلْ كَامْ يَعْبُدُونَ الْجِنِ. They were worshipping the jinn. أَكْثَرُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of them believe in the jinn. They believe in calling on the jinn. And that's why we should not allow ourselves to be deceived by people. They give you some names to be chanting. That when you chant these names, your requests, your wants, your needs will be what? Will be attended to when you chant those things. What are those names? If they are names of jinn, they are names of human beings that they give you to be chanting, they are names of trees, names of rivers, seas, animals, this is shirk billah. This is shirkul fil ibadah. This is associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your acts of worship. But if they give you names of Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. So you seek to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is scholars who call Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat. That is taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one in his names and attributes. That is, there is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as his names are concerned. There is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his attributes are concerned. And this is the reason he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. The Lord of the heavens and the earth. And what is between the heavens and the earth? فَعْبُدْهُ فَعْبُدْهُ. So worship him. وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِ. And be patient when you are worshipping him. Don't allow yourself to be carried away by yourself to be misled, misguided by some people. Do you know anyone that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah does not have a counterpart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have an equal. Allah doesn't have a match. So this is what should be our belief with respect to what al-Iman billah. Brothers and sisters, if you are asked to discuss al-Iman billah, believe in Allah, we should be able to watch, to talk about this. With the little that I've what said, you'll be able to watch, talk about believe in Allah, al-Iman billah. So I want somebody to respond to this question. When we talk about al-Iman billah, believe in Allah, what are the things that should be found? What are the things that constitute al-Iman billah? Who can tell us? Nobody. Okay. Now. Alone. Now. Now that is one.
In the attribute and the name of Allah.
Okay. There is something that precedes these three. What is that? We should. Now, Jazakumullah khairan. Yes, you have said almost the same thing, but there is one thing that I said, I started with, that, No. I said the existence of Allah first. Then you believe He is your creator, your sustainer, true. Huh? Then you believe that He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and you worship Him alone. Then the fourth one, you believe He has what? Beautiful names and what? Highest attributes. Four things. These four things must be present before you can say somebody believes in Allah. If one is missing, the belief in Allah of that person is not okay. It's not okay. If anyone is missing. So, and we said, we have what? People who do not believe in Allah at all. They don't believe in His existence. God doesn't believe in the existence of Allah. Is he going to believe that He has what? The highest attributes and the most beautiful names? He doesn't believe in the existence of Allah in the first place. Huh? So, the one who does not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped alone. So, are we going to say he believes in what? In existence, believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these four things must be present. So, when they ask you, for instance, people like Karl Marx, people like Friedrich Engels, people like Lenin, Trotsky, and many philosophers like that, do they believe in Allah? The answer is what? No. Because these people, they will tell you that what? Even religion is opium of the people. Religion is what? Opium of the people. It's like somebody who has smoked cocaine or so, when you say you are practicing religion. They will say, well, there is no God, and this life is material. Anything you cannot see with your naked eyes, you say you don't believe in it. So these are what? Are unbelievers. They are unbelievers. Some of them may be what? Atheists. Some of them may be agnostics. So you have to believe in the existence of Allah and believe He is the creator, the sustainer. And that is not enough. You have to believe He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and you worship Him alone. Then you believe that what He has the most beautiful names and the highest attributes. By which you call Him. So this is with respect to us believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ya ayyuhalladhina amanu aminu billahi. Oh, you believe in Allah. Believe in Allah. Then believe in the angels. Falls under believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran that He created angels. He created angels. The angels, they have different tasks that they are doing. Some of these angels were attached to human beings. We can't see them with our naked eyes. Some of them are in charge of what? Writing the affairs, the matters of human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma'alfidu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. When you utter a single statement, there is raqib, there is atid. That is, there is an angel that is watching you, writing things down. But you can't see them. You can't see the angels. So, there are angels. A lot of angels in what? In the heavens. Angels on the land. When you observe Salatul Subhi, Salatul Zuhr, Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, angels are with you that you cannot see them. But they see you, you can't see them. They are created from light. You are created from dust. But they are created from what? From light. All this you have what? In the Quran and the Sunnah. So you believe in the angels. Some of them were sent to be messengers among mankind, like Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of them are in charge of taking the soul of human beings. We have Malakul Maut. We have Malakul Maut that the people call Azrael. So he's the one in charge of taking the soul of human beings. Any person that is living this world, his soul is taken by Malakul Maut. And he has what? He has those who are with him from among the angels too. So you believe in this. You believe in Mikael, the one that is in charge of the rain, and the one that is in charge of the vegetations, the growing of the plants. So you live in Israfil, the one that will blow the trumpet, and every one of the surface of the earth, when it is time, they all die. And will be the one to blow it again, everybody will be resurrected. So this you have in authentic ahadith. You believe in them, that these are what? Messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are created from light. Then you go towards, because this is what you have said, some people will not believe. Some people will tell you that there is nothing like angel, but I'm a Muslim. Or some people will tell you that the angels, they are just like what? Spirit in you. They will do what? They will alter and distort the meaning of what? The angel. So are we going to say people like this believe in angel? They do not believe in angel. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the angels and the attacks for us. For somebody not to believe in this and distort wherever it is angels, in the Quran, it distorts the meaning. Who says such a person believe in the angel? Because the angel that he believes in is not the angels the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about. It's not the angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about. Likewise, the book of Allah. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed books. And the last of these books is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed books. He gave the Torah to Prophet Musa. He gave the Gospel, Injil, to Prophet Isa. And he gave Suhuf to Prophet Ibrahim. He gave Zabur, the Psalm, to Prophet Dawood. Alayhi salatu wassalam. He gave the Quran to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You believe in all these books. At the same time, you believe that the content of these books, the message of these books, they are all combined in the Quran. The Quran is what? Is the last of these books. So, and that's why as Muslims, you don't go to the Zabur, to the Torah, to the Gospel, to us, to take law. To take law. All the laws that you are supposed to use as a believer in Allah, they are all what? In the Quran and its explanation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day saw Umar radiallahu anhu, as reported by Imam Ahmad. He was reading a copy of Torah. Umar radiallahu anhu had a copy of Torah. That is a book that was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but it had undergone distortion. The Jews had distorted it. So Umar radiallahu anhu found a copy. You know, the Jews, they were in what? In Medina. Then, together with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar took a copy of Torah from one of the Jews and was reading it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amutahawikuna fiya ya ibn al-Khattab? What is this, O the son of al-Khattab? Why are you wasting your time on this? Walladhi nafsi biyadi, I swear by the one in whose hand my soul is. I brought the message pure, white and pure. Walau anna Musa kana hayyan, if Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam were to be alive, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, walau anna Musa kana hayyan ma wasi'ahu illa tiba'i aw illa yattabi'ani. He will not have any other option other than to follow me. So, and that's why, as Muslims, you believe in those books, but you believe that the content, the message, the real message, are what? In the Quran. So whatever you see in the Quran is what you should watch, what you should follow. So then you believe in the messengers. You believe in the messengers. So when we say you believe in the books, this is also another area. Some people, they see the Quran, for instance, as any, like any other book. Like somebody who called himself a Muslim says, إن القرآن كأي كتاب أدبي يستحق النقد. The Quran is like any literary work that can be critiqued. The Quran is like what? Any literary work that can be critiqued. You can criticize it. The way you criticize a literary work by one literary man, so to say, or by one poet or one prose composer, you can also subject the Quran to critique or criticism like that. Somebody said that, and the scholars, they refuted him. So the Quran is a book, like I think, Batil min Baini, Yadei Wala min Khalfi. It's not a book that contains Batil, no. It's a book of haq that contains haq. You give it respect. The laws of the Quran, you respect it. Don't see the law of the Quran as just the, what's it called? The common law, or the law that the people are seeking to pass or to make. No, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, وَتَمَّتْ كَلْمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The word of your Lord is complete and perfect in terms of truthfulness and in terms of what? Justice. Any ruling contained in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a just ruling. If you do not understand it, you should watch. You should criticize yourself. But the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. وَتَمَّتْ كَلْمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. So you should understand it. So let us respect the book of Allah. If you don't respect the Quran, you are not a believer. If you treat the Quran like any other book, you are not a believer. So likewise, the prophets of Allah, do not abuse any one of them. Starting from Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wa salam down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An-Nabiyyin, as Allah has said, the one who believes in the Prophet, he don't speak ill of any of what? Of the Prophets of Allah. He don't speak ill of any of the Prophets. Any of the messengers of Allah, he don't speak ill of them. So this is very, very important. Somebody may call himself a Muslim, and he says he wants to engage a Christian, for instance, and he starts attacking Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Yeah, Jesus has said this, has done that, why did he do this? That he will start making jest of Prophet Isa, Jesus, alayhi salatu wa salam. Such a person is not a Muslim, is not a believer. You can't be a believer and you're making jest of Jesus. No, you can't be a believer when you make jest of Jesus. Even if you want to promote Islam, you want to defend Islam, not by what? Making jest of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. The one who makes jest of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam has declared himself a non-Muslim. Has declared himself a non-Muslim. You must respect all the messengers, all of them. But you believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of all the messengers. But you must respect all of them. Don't speak ill of any of the prophets of Allah. And this is one of the things that differentiates the Muslims from the non-Muslim, from the non-Muslim. A Muslim doesn't speak ill of Prophet Isa, doesn't speak ill of Prophet Moses, doesn't speak ill of them. Then you believe in what? Al-Yawm al-Akhir, the last day. So, and the details of what will go, what will transpire on the last day. You try to know this. You see this in the Quran, you see them in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people do not believe in the last and they call themselves Muslims. They believe everything will end in this world. One come back, someone dies, they believe that is the end of it. No, that cannot be the end of it. You must believe that you'll be resurrected. And Allah is going to ask you about the way you have spent this life. How you have spent your time in this world. The Kufar of Makkah that we spoke about earlier, one of their negative aspects is that a lot of them did not believe in resurrection. They believe Allah is their creator, their sustainer, but a lot of them did not believe that they will be resurrected. They believe that when they die, that's the end of it. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّا يُبْعَثُوا. Allah says the unbeliever, they claim that they will not be resurrected. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّا يُبْعَثُوا. قُلْ بَلَى. Say to them, بَلَى you resurrected. لَتُبْعَثُنَّ. قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ. Say, I swear by my Lord, you shall be resurrected. ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّهُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ. And you shall be informed about what you did in the worldly life. So, this is Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? لَتُبْعَثُنَّ. The lamb there is for Tawheed to emphasize something. The noon there is also to emphasize something. لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّهُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ. And you shall be informed of your deeds. وَذَلِكَ لَلَّا يَسِرُ. This is very easy for Allah. Simple. It doesn't take Allah anything to resurrect you. So you believe that when you die and you have decomposed, you are gone. All what you did in this world is gone. No. Common sense also tells us that there should be resurrection. Common sense. Why? Because when we open our dictionaries, we see what they call what? Justice. The Englishman will say what? Justice. The Arab man will say what? Al-Adlu. The Yoruba man will say what? Dede. Or something like that. So every language has something that points towards justice. That if somebody wrongs another person and that person escapes in this world, should that person escape without being what? Without being punished for what he has done. If he escapes in this world, there should be another world where the person that he has wronged, we get his what? We get to avenge whatever the person has done in this world. So common sense says there must be what? There must be another life where people will be held accountable for whatever they have done. And verses of the Quran establish this. But for someone to call himself a Muslim and say, no, there is no resurrection. Everything is what? In this world. Such a person is not a believer, it's not a mu'min. So that's why one of the integral aspects of iman is al-imanu bil yawm al-akhir. In fact, Allah will say this in many places. Allah says it. For instance, Allah says what? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For whoever hopes in Allah and the last day. Allah thanks you mention those two. Believe in Allah and the last day. All others fall under this. So when you know that the last day, you do what is good. You avoid what is wrong. What Allah has commanded you do, what you are forbidding, go away from it. You know that when you do what Allah has forbidden, you are going to meet Allah on the last day, where Allah will be recompensing people for what they've done. Then, Al-Qadr, that is what we call predestination. The meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had knowledge of everything before it was created. He had the knowledge of everything before things were created. And the way things will go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew this. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew all this, Allah had them written down. And that's why we have what is called Allahul Mahfuz. That is a preserved tablet where everything is written. Everything is written. The way things will go, the details were written. This lecture that we have, that we are holding this evening, it is in Lawh al-Mahfuz that you watch. If it had not been in Lawh al-Mahfuz that you watch, it would not hold. And nobody can make it hold. Because it is not in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such a thing will happen. Then this thing that we say is written, when it is time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will will it. Regardless of whether it's good or bad, then you see it happen when Allah wills it. إِنَّمَا أَمُرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَقُولُ. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whenever Allah wills something, he will say be, and that will be. So four things. There is what is called what? Al-ilmu, the knowledge of Allah, the unshakable knowledge of Allah. Al-kitaba, the writing. Al-irada, the will of Allah. Then al-khalqu, the creation. These four things will happen in anything. Anything that you see happening in the world, happening in this life, must have passed through these four stages. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. If you will to do something, if Allah does not will that thing, wallahi, it will come to pass. If Allah does not will it. So you have to believe in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you as a Muslim, you strive, you make effort to do things that you want to do. You want to achieve this. You try to do whatever you want to do in line with the teachings of Al-Islam. But when the thing misses you, you're unable to achieve it, you say, Qadarullah, wa ma sha'a fa'al. This is the Qadar of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the writing of Allah, the will of Allah, the creation of Allah. Whatever Allah will use, fa'al, he does. So as a believer, you have to believe in Qadar. Some people, they call themselves Muslim, they don't believe in Qadar. He said, there is no Qadar. You are the architect of what? Of your actions. So don't tell me Qadar. These people, they sprang when they saw some people who are using Qadar as an excuse for the evil that they are committing. Somebody is fornicating, committing adultery, taking intoxicants, stealing, and so on and so forth. Things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Somebody is not praying, that Allah has commanded that you pray. Somebody is not fasting, that Allah has commanded you fast. Such people, when they are not asked, why are you not fasting? Why are you not praying? Why are you not saying it's Qadar of Allah? Why are you stealing? Why are you smoking, taking intoxicants? Why are you smoking cocaine? Why are you smoking this? It's Qadar of Allah. Is it Qadar of Allah or not? Huh? Is it Qadar of Allah? Let's talk. Yes, it's Qadar of Allah. But we say Qadar of Allah will come with what? Another Qadar of Allah. You will be punished for that action or for those actions. That's also what? Qadar of Allah. If it is Qadar of Allah that you do those things, it is also Qadar of Allah where you are being punished for those things that you do. Somebody slaps a person and he says, Qadar of Allah. The other person slaps him back and he says, this is also what? Qadar of Allah. Don't do evil things and hide watch under the Qadar of Allah. If you do evil things and you hide under the Qadar of Allah, when the consequence of the repercussion of that thing comes, it is also what? Qadar of Allah. Somebody stole during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the person's hands, without genuine reason for stealing, without any excuse, they want to chop off the person's hand and say, oh, Khalifa, it's Qadar of Allah. Umar said, yes, we are going to cut your hand with Qadar of Allah too. So what they are saying is that what is forbidden is forbidden. And what is compulsory is compulsory. Don't hide under the Qadar of Allah to do what is evil. Don't hide under the Qadar of Allah to abandon what is what? Compulsory. How this is like. So but you believe in the Qadar of Allah, that there is nothing that is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything you do, whether good or bad, Allah already knew it from eternity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it written that you, so and so, you are going to do so and so and so and so day. Allah knew everything, whether good or bad. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has given you what? Has given you the ability to choose. If you do what is wrong, Allah is going to punish you for that. Unless if he wills to court to pardon you. And if you do what is right, Allah is going to reward you for that. So some people do not believe in Qadar of Allah because some people went overboard in establishing Qadar of Allah. Some people using Qadar of Allah to perpetrate evil. Then some people say, we have to tackle you. Who don't believe in what? Qadar of Allah. Then the people of the truth, they said, no, both parties are wrong. You negating Qadar, you are wrong. You going overboard in establishing Qadar by using Qadar as what? As an excuse to justify your evil doings, you are also wrong. So we believe in Qadar and we do what is right. So summarily, this is the Arkanul Iman. This is the usul of Al-Iman, the soul of Aqidah. Any Aqidah book will teach this. It's either the book is teaching it in the wrong way or is teaching it in the right way. But any Aqidah book could talk about believe in Allah, believe in the angels, believe, but some may interpret it in different ways, as I've explained. So you have to learn the right Aqidah by going to all the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died upon. The way they understood this usul of Iman, you have to watch, you have to understand it that way. Not the way a Greek philosopher wants you to understand it. So inshallah, we stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka. نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Concerning the books that we can read to learn the Aqidah, the first thing is to read the Quran, to read the Quran. And the Quran has been translated into, that is the meaning of the Quran has been translated into many languages. So preferably you read the one that is that was translated by Muhsin Khan and Taqiyuddin Ilali. So that's the best translation of the Quran that we have. The best translation of the meaning of the Quran that we have presently. The one written by Taqiyuddin al-Ilali and Muhsin Khan. So we start with that. Likewise, there is this book called Kitab al-Tawheed written by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab. So the book contains a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam majorly, with just little comments. It contains verses of the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect to Tawheed al-Ibadah. With respect to Tawheed al-Ibadah. The Tawheed that Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, the Tawheed that is not have, that book explains that Tawheed. so that we will not be acting like Abu Talib, Abu Jahl. So the book compiled those verses of the Quran about those things that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So, and it talks little about the Tawheed, Al-Asma, Al-Sifat, and Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. But the book majorly is on Tawheed al-Ibadah, because this is where most people get it wrong. So, that book, Kitab al-Tawheed. Then we have another book called Al-Aqidatu al-Wasitiyya. Al-Aqidatu al-Wasitiyya. This is by Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah Tini alayhi rahmatullah. This book talks about the Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise the issue of Qadar, the issue of what, the Prophet, the companions. So the book talks about this. Likewise, how to relate to it, rulers. So with evidences from the Quran, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these books also contain what, ahadith and verses of the Quran. So you learn this. There are translations for these books. So if you don't understand Arabic, you try to get the translations and read it. But it's good, you take great time to also learn Fitu Arabic so that you can watch, you can also read these books from what? From the original source. So Allah, from his source.
What is the meaning of the Muslims that they wrote the law in the Quran? You still call yourself the Muslim in the law?
The ruin of those who say there is no Sunnah.
In the Quran, that I'm Muslim in the law, God will come in the Sunnah or not.
Now I'm saying I'm a Sunni, that it's not in the Quran to say we are Ahlu Sunnah. That saying what, we are Muslim, is enough. Now if you are saying you are Muslim, you don't call yourself Ahlu Sunnah, so this is not the issue. The issue is, what type of Islam are you practicing? What type of Islam are you practicing? The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were upon the Quran and the Sunnah. When we say the Sunnah, we are talking about the explanation of the Quran that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessed the companion upon. So the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were upon the Quran and its explanation, which is the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are we now saying? Some people are Ahlu Sunnah, some people are not Ahlu Sunnah. It is necessity that brought about this out. Now, we are all saying we are Muslims. And somebody say, I'm a Muslim, but I don't need the explanation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to practice my Islam. The Quran is enough. I'm a Muslim. Somebody says that, I'm a Muslim, but I don't need the explanation, I don't need the Sunnah to watch, to practice Islam. I'm going to make use of the Quran only. What will be your own response to that? Can somebody assist you? Assist us? You stand in front of somebody who is saying, what? I'm a Muslim, but I don't need the Sunnah, I don't need the explanation of the Quran, of the Quran, that is the explanation of the Prophet of Islam, I don't need it to practice my Islam. Firstly, we have read it here. Allah says, وَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have revealed the Zikr so that you can explain to the people what has been revealed to them. Where is the explanation? You say you believe in the Quran, and the Quran is saying what? The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book has been revealed to him so that he can explain to the people. Then you say you don't need the explanation. Do you believe in the Quran? You don't believe in the Quran. If you believe in the Quran, you will need the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one. Two, I can also tell you that I'm a Muslim, but I believe in what? In the Sunnah to understand the Quran. So I'm what? Ahlu Sunnah. I'm Ahlu Sunnah. I'm a person of Sunnah. Is there anything wrong with that? Eh? If somebody says what? I don't need the Sunnah. I say I need the Sunnah to understand the Quran. And we check the Quran. The Quran is saying what? We need the Sunnah to understand the Quran. So somebody now say I'm Ahlul Sunnah. Somebody saying what? I'm not Ahlul Sunnah. Who is right? This common sense. The one who says I'm Ahlul Sunnah is the one that is right. That as far as Islam is concerned, no Sunnah, no Islam. But somebody now saying that what? Allah has not called us Ahlul Sunnah. Has not called us what? So Allah has called us Muslims. We said what type of Islam are you practicing? Is it the Islam that the Prophet Allah has practiced? If yes, the Quran, the Islam that he practiced is what? With the explanation, with his own explanation. And you say you don't need it. Somebody is using the explanation of the philosophers, abandoning the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So is that person a Muslim, a real Muslim? No. So for people not to say you are kuffar, they say what? You are not a good Muslim. You are not what? A good Muslim. Why to be a good Muslim? You will be following the explanation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So calling yourself Ahlul Sunnah is what? Is a pride. But what matters most is for you to also follow it, not just what? In the main clash only. If somebody say I'm what? I'm a Muslim. You say you are welcome. But what Islam are you practicing? How do you practice Islam? Matters. If you practice your Islam in line with the explanation of the Prophet Islam, then you have a Sunnah. If you practice your Islam contrary to the explanation of Prophet Allah, then you have a Bidah. So you have to fall somewhere. So Allah wa'ala.
What is the meaning of the reading of Sunnah 1 for greeting?
Now, what is the meaning of celebrating and greeting one for birthdays? Then the first thing is what, when we check the history of celebration of birthday, this is what is not Islamic. Check it. So the origin of celebrating birthday. So this is not an Islamic practice. What we have in Islam is what aqiqah, where a ram or two rams is slaughtered for the birth of a new child, a newborn baby. So that is what we have. But saying, okay, I turn 50 this year, I turn 70 this year, I turn 40 this year, I turn 30 this year, so I want to celebrate it. So this is not in the teachings, is not in the way of our five predecessors. And it has what? It has religious background. And that's why I tell you, you should go and check it, the origin of what, by day. You see that what, it has religious background. Not something that is related to Islam, but it has what? It has this idolatrous origin. So, when you now celebrate it, commonsensically, you are closer to what? To the grave. You are closer to the grave. And you are celebrating. You are drinking, singing, doing all this. When you are a year closer to the grave. If Allah has determined that somebody is going to spend 51 years on the surface of the earth, and he turns 50 today, and the person is now whining and dining, and the person is what? Dancing, singing, people are eating. The person is what? Is closer to his grave. Allah said what is going to die when he's 51. And that's why you see somebody celebrating his 70th birthday, and few months later he died. Few weeks later he died. Few days later he died. A day after he died. So what is what? The benefit of this bad day of his faith. So we are only following the words of the kuffar. I remember somebody had an issue with his father or his parents. He said he's not going to celebrate, he was not going to celebrate bad day. So the father was not happy with that. Two things. He said he was not going to bow to greet the parents You know, this is something that is very serious in the Yoruba land. So the parents were not happy with this. They now invited a malam, and they tabled the matter before the malam. The malam listened to them, who trapped attention. After the father had landed, the malam said, "The issue of bowing to greet you as a parent, that one is understood if you are fighting your child over that, because this is what the culture of our fathers, what we met our own fathers, what we met them upon. Though Islam does not support it. But you can say you are fighting them over this. Now, this is your bad day that your son says what is not going to celebrate bad day. That you are fighting your son over. So is that. Can you remember when your own father celebrated your own bad day?" He said, "Oh, his father never did that." He's an elderly person. Most likely, his own father did not know anything called what? Celebration of what? Bad day. He said, "His father never did that." Okay. Why are you not fighting your son over what is not even what? Your culture. It's not your culture. It's a culture brought in by some people. Then the father submitted and what? And you know, forgot the matter. So the point here is that there is no evidence for that. It is following the way of some people. And ordinarily would have said it is something that it either is practice only, but it has this shirk origin. So go and check it. You see this all around. Now this is not okay. So we should respect the religious symbols. We should not turn them to objects of homage. Allahu a'lam.
What is the meaning on using AI to modify picture?
This depends on the picture that you are modifying. You know, when you are using AI to modify the picture, you are changing things. So if you are changing things away from what their reality is, so this will be deceptive. This will be deceptive. Saying something that can lead to a serious issue, so this will be what? It will be bad. So when you try to portray something the way it is not, and it's going to be deceiving, then that is what is wrong. This is part of what kadhb, part of lying, which Islam frowns at. Wallahu a'lam. Now, as for proper dressing for a female Muslim, is to cover our body with garments that will not describe a shape, that will not be transparent, will not be see-through, so will not be skin tight. So the garment must cover her, whether it is in two pieces or three pieces, so it must not describe a nudity. So it must be baggy and free. So this is what the garment of a Muslim. And it must get to the last part of her body, get to the what? The end of her feet. So that is the dressing of a Muslim lady. It must not be perfumed when she's going out. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any lady that goes out perfumed so that the people can hear her odor, such a lady is a zania. Such a lady is a zania. So it must not be perfumed when she's going out. The perfume that will attract the opposite sex, must not be used by a lady when she is going out. As for the S type for a man, one should avoid what is called al-qaza. Al-qaza is to shave or cut part of the edge, part of the hair, and leave what? And leave part. If you want to leave it complete. If you want to cut it complete. But for one to leave part and what? And for one to cut part or shave part. So this is called qaza. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha anil qaza, forbid al qaza. Now.
What do you think of those who turn away? What do you think of those who turn away because the safety of the law that allows them to do?
Now that is what you have discussed. So somebody who doesn't pray and he says what, he's a Muslim. So how can you be a Muslim when you do not pray? Your Islam is not okay. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let us know al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah fa man taraka faqad kafar. The covenant between us and them is as-salah. Whoever abandons it is a kafir. Huh? So you also say that what laysa bayna al-muslim laysa bayna al-islam wal-kufr illa tarku as-salah. So the difference between Islam and Kufr is what? Tarku Salah, the abandonment of As-Salah. Umar radiallahu anhu said in his statement, لا حظ في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. The one who does not pray has no share in Islam. One of the Tabi'un, the students of the companions in quotation of Abdullah bin Shaqiq al-Urqaymi, as said by Al-Imam Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah, said كان أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرون شيئا من الأعمال تركوا كفر غير الصلاة. The companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will not see anything that one does not do as كفر except صلاة. So evidence is like that. So and that's why a lot of scholars they have the opinion that one who doesn't pray, maybe pray at all, is a kafir. So but they all agree that the one who abandons Salah or the one who does not pray regularly, the person is at risk. The person is at risk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُخَلْقٌ أَدَعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَتَوْطَ الْكَوْنَ غَيَّنْ. Allah says some riffraffs came after these good people, these prophets, these pious people. أَدَعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. They neglected Salah. Not that they will not pray, but they will not pray on time. وَتَبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. And they were running after what it is. فَتَوْفَ الْكَوْنَ غَيَّ. So they are going to meet perdition. That is, they are going to meet destruction. So and that's why the one who does not pray, the person is in danger. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَفِيَةَ وَالسَّلَامَ.
Amen.
We worship the same God. Who says that? Now, okay, the Christian says we worship the same God. We are supposed to be worshiping the same God. But watch, they are not worshiping the same God with us. Because ilahuna wa ilahukum. Ilahukum wa ilahuna wahid. We are supposed to be worshipping the same God. But Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلِ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلْمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say, O people of the scripture, come to one word between us. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we should not worship except Allah. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَلَا نُشِرْكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that we should not associate any partner with him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And we should not take one another as gods. مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ apart from Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا Allah says, "Oh Muhammad, if they turn away from this, they will not accept this from you." فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Say to them, bear witness that we are Muslims. Bear witness that we are Muslims. We are not mushrikun. We are what? Muslimun. We are people who submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are supposed to be worshipping the same God, but they worship Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. They call on him, they call on Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. So we are not worshipping the same God. Yes, we both believe that God exists. God is what? Our sustainer, our creator. We believe that. Just as the kuffar of Makkah also believe that. But when it comes to what? Al-ibadah, the worship, Tawheed ilahiyya, they are wanting there. They are worshipping, calling on other than Allah, slaughtering for other than Allah. So here they will watch, there will be big problem. So Allah wa'ala.
Allah
Now praying with the Imam, praying everything with the Imam is better. So if you want to pray more in the night, you can wake up, you can get up and pray as many rak'ah as possible according to what most scholars have found. Only that you will not repeat the way through, since that you have prayed the way through with Imam. So everything will be what? Even two rak'ah till what? You are tired, then you can bring it to an end. So you will repeat the witr again since you have watched, you have observed it with the Imam. So it is good for you to observe with the Imam so that you can have the watch. Man sallama al-Imam hatta yansarif. Whoever pray with the Imam till the Imam finishes, kana lahu qiyam al-layla. You will get the reward of somebody who has prayed the whole night. But if you pray part with the Imam, if you not pray the witr with the Imam, it's like you have not completed the salah with the Imam till the Imam finishes. So it is good for you to pray with the Imam till he finishes. Then you want to pray more at night. You can wake up and pray as many even as possible. Allah wa'ala.
I wish that you have become a self as a Muslim. I prefer to tell you to my family. I just tell you my family.
Yes, it's a big thing. The big thing. Don't feel shy. Is that inferiority complex? As a Muslim, you don't have to feel inferior. Wallahi, we are superior. We are superior. So you are worshipping the creator of the universe. Somebody is worshipping his own power, his own desire. Or somebody is worshipping the idea of another person. So you believe that the creator that desires to be worshipped alone. Somebody does not believe in what? In a creator. He believes everything comes by mere coincidence. How can something come by mere coincidence? Huh? So there must be what they themselves call what? Uncaused cause. When you have what? A cause for something, this produces, it will get to a point that there will be what? There will be a producer who is not what? Produced. Somebody said, okay, if Allah created me, who created Allah? You say, that's a stupid question. You consider yourself to be a creation. Then you are asking who created what? Who created Allah? Is Allah a creation? Allah is not a creation. So you should not be asking who created Allah. Eh? Because Allah is not a creation. So every other thing is a creation, but there is what? There is Allah who is the creator of all creation. There must be a creator. There must be a creator. And that's why some of the philosophers will say what? They will say what? Uncaused causer or uncaused cause. Unmoved mover. The one that is moving everything, but he cannot be moved. Because if he is moved, he is also in what? In need of another mover. So if everything that is moved is in need of a mover, then that means it will be endless. So there must be a beginning. The unmoved mover, the uncaused causer. This is commonsensical. This is commonsensical. So Allah is that unmoved mover, is that uncaused cause. Is the originator, is the one that started everything. So then you shouldn't ask who started Allah. Because if you ask that question again, it will continue like that. Somebody, for instance, says, okay, who prepared this food? Who prepared this food? He says it's Fatima. Then another person asks, who prepared Fatima? Is Fatima a food? Is Fatima a food? You are talking about food. You are asking who prepared Fatima. So Allah is not a creation. He is the creator. So we should understand this. When you are a sound Muslim, an atheist or an agnostic cannot defeat you when it comes to arguments. So don't need to feel what? You don't need to feel inferior. You are a superior human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed you in place of what? Superiority. So don't feel inferior. That inferiority complex, take it away from you. Be bold to also announce your Islam to people. Anything that the people are attacking in Islam, it's either they do not understand it, or you yourself that call yourself a Muslim do not understand that thing. That's why you feel inferior. So don't feel inferior. Identify yourself as a Muslim. Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.